Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we're going to reconvene. It's 4:15. And we're going to go on to unfinished business, the first of which is the interlocal agreement between fire and EMS. This is discussion only at this meeting, since we committed to wait until both the hospital district and the fire district had a chance to meet in their regular board meetings and have a chance to review it and discuss it. And then we'll have another chance in for a future meeting, a joint meeting between fire and EMS. So that was the idea, so that we have extra time to discuss it. So Carl,
yes,
would you like to introduce this?
Certainly. The draft that was presented on the website and went out first was a draft. It was called an intergovernmental agreement, and it was definitely brought to our attention, loud and clear. Members of the community, board members, had issues with it, and I understand that, and so we took another stab at things, trying to clean up some of that language and to further express our intent as to what this agreement was supposed to be. That draft you have in front of you, there's language that would, basically the highlights are, there's language that was inserted that the intent is to give it assurance to existing PhD staff, our responders, those both under contract and not represented by contract, that their jobs are there and they are governed by the hospital district. We also added an easy out clause, which was lacking. We thought that it was covered in the title because there was a mutual consent. Realized that we needed more clarification for that, added that. It's a 6-month kind of a no fault by resolution of either board to say the agreement is terminated. The length of the contract, we realized some of this came from previous interlocal agreements that were drafted on the mainland, where consolidation took place between either two fire departments or a town fire department and a regional area, and they took longer and tried to accomplish more with the interlocal. They made provisions for rolling stock and the transfer of assets, and we realized that's not what we're trying to accomplish in this interlocal agreement. We want to just consolidate or combine the administrative oversight only. So those provisions were taken out. We realized that our deadline for the hospital levy was 2022. So that's basically 2 years away. Why extend the length of that term, the term of this agreement, any further than that? So that was scaled back to a 2-year agreement, and some of the other information sections and articles that were incorporated into the first draft that was released to the public and to the commissioners was removed because it dealt more with financial types of things. There's very limited financial change that happens with this draft agreement. So it's there. It came after some of that language was inserted. I asked our attorney, Rich Davis, who was the primary person who wrote the first few drafts, to take a look at the clauses that I inserted, trying to convey that intent, asked him for his take on things. We got that back this morning. I then put that together. We cleaned it up. We kind of consulted as members of the steering committee and now put forth this document that you have before you. So that's where we are, and again, that's where I would highlight those were the pieces that happened. We put in the no-fault 6-month termination. We put in, we reduced the length of the term to 2 years. We added a clause that gave assurance to paid and contract staff. So I would be happy to answer any other questions. I'll try to explain if you have questions about what our intent was, and if there's things that need more clarification, I'll do the best I can.
And we can just reiterate, the first two iterations, and this is the third one, are drafts for a reason. We're discussing it, we're going through it. If there's things that you want to see changed or updated, we can talk about those things. So, who would like to start? Mark?
I'd like to ask. When you say we, who's involved in the drafting?
Well,
you mentioned Rich Davis.
Rich Davis gave us that. Chief Collins, myself.
Joe Quinn,
who's also part of the fire district. He's their counsel. Commissioner Cardinale, Commissioner Smith, we were the ones who worked on this with Rich, took the drafts, tweaked, made our suggestions, tried to express our content, and it's come back. I believe this is probably number three or four.
It's four.
I think that was a very helpful suggestion by Dr. Guyman that we have these numbered or lettered.
Right.
So we are tracking these.
And I made a note as well on mine.
Yeah, and then with regard to the paramedic collective bargaining agreement, I think there's some ambiguity in my own thinking concerning this, and I'm hoping that that could be clarified through further discussion. In the intermission here, you and I were talking about this, mm-hmm. and it doesn't sound like it's crystal clear as I think it should be.
Okay.
The other point I had is a question about under financial management, Exhibit A. This would be the last page, and I suggest to you that the pages be numbered.
We've got it after
we print them. Yeah. It talks about authorization for purchase of all equipment, supplies, services necessary for operations and maintenance as defined by policy procedure. And I think in my mind it leaves unanswered the question of how does that relate to the budget.
All right. I can tell you that Exhibit A is basically the duties as outlined in my interim chief contract. They were lifted into it.
And I think the next sentence of that talks about expenditures within approved budget.
Yeah. I read that as well.
Okay.
I think it needs to be very explicit.
Okay. So.
There are multiple approved budgets here in discussion. Fire has theirs, we have ours, EMS has theirs, so I think it needs to be explicit.
Okay.
And then the labor contracts we talked about already. So, just having received this today, it's going to take time to process this. So.
Understandably so.
Do you want to start on page one and go through with, if anybody has any questions?
I'd like to speak before that.
About this?
About this.
Okay.
The view, this is the audience. There have been four drafts of this starting June the 5th.
Same
first conversation with the attorneys. And we got the fourth draft.
Thanks, people.
Less than 3.5 hours before this meeting. I've spent the last two nights going over draft number 3 because I thought that's the one we're working on. There's 8 sections. I have at least 27 questions and comments. And I don't think we can do this justice at this point in discussing this without taking due diligence, slowing down, and having another meeting where we have had some time to review it. I think this conversation is premature, and I think it's unprofessional for any of us to comment without having thought this through, slept on it at least 3 or 4 nights, and then come back and do our job, especially from the comments from the audience, where I'm going to be hanging, possibly we may be hanging this on a future board. So I would propose that we take our time, we go home, we look at this, we review this. Now, I gave you my outline of the things I looked at in draft 3, and those are the bullet points of the areas I saw of substance that I have, as opposed to process. And the substance is suffering because the process is going too fast. And that's where I stand. Also, you'll note They just gave me all of them, and I don't have one myself. There you go. But I think, and I read this one today as fast as I could, and I couldn't get through it, because I'm an attorney, and I read it very slowly, because every word means something to me. And I have noted about 12 in there, and when I go through further, I'll probably note more. But in either one of these, number 3 or number 4, and there'll be a 5 and there'll be a 6, I have not seen where the PIMC contract that we're bound by has been addressed at all. There's in that in sections.
That's a separate tax base and a separate issue. So the PHP.
No. It's not a second issue. This, the public hospital district, has signed a contract with the hospital, and they have a series of programs they develop. And as EMS is expanding and paramedicine is expanding, we have to be sure that we have not crossed that contract with them. I can lay out the sections in the contract, the PIMC contract, which I have here, that need to be addressed. There's nothing in either one of these about how we're going to control education. If we're having two horses riding next to each other and riders on the horses and trying to get on the other saddle, according to the analogy out here, I don't want education to get lost. And we're trying to bring two different groups together and educate them commonly. I don't see anything in the draft 3, and I'm suspicious about draft 4, just having quickly read it, about the quality assurance and the statutory issues that are required there. I don't see that addressed. I have many more questions, and I'm not trying to be negative. Early on in this program, and this whole thing starting 2 years ago, and I've been through this before, and I think it would be a good thing, but this community has big wounds over the last 20 years, you've heard some of it from here, that need to be solved. And by rushing this, you're not going to solve it. You're just going to make people back up. And I felt that, and I think you felt that, and I know this building has felt that over the last week. So my proposal here is we don't discuss this today. We go home, we talk about it with ourselves, and we come back and have a real meeting where we can actually talk about it without saying, well, I haven't had enough time to read it. I don't understand what the hurry is today to get this thing and discuss it 3 hours later when we haven't had time to digest it. That's not good government in my book. It really is not good government. I think we're doing the community a disfavor and widening the wound by push. And this is another example of it. And that's my feeling on it.
I think I can understand all of what you said. My feeling was that we needed, because it went out as a draft early on, I mean, it was a draft. Normally drafts go out of contracts and they stay within the organization, within our board, so that we can come up with 59 different versions of the contract before it goes out, because otherwise people are confused about what they're talking about because we haven't discussed it. So my view was it would be good to discuss it.
I totally agree with discussing it, but after we've had time to think about it, the other 3 drafts didn't come to a discussion in 3 hours. They were planned 3 or 4 days in advance. This one is 3 hours. Now, I'm sorry I didn't get here last night, so I could have stayed up till 2 a.m. reading this one.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It got here at 11 o'clock. It was printed out. Was it in our packets that we picked up yesterday?
No.
Not at all.
No, it wasn't.
Now, I would think that common courtesy would be get it in the packet on time. And it didn't happen. Not your fault. Everyone needs to know that it's not internal to this building. But it didn't get here until this morning, and I had to go to a committee to get there. I'm sorry.
What's everybody else's feeling, Mark? Commissioner Schwinge.
Do I get to talk?
Yes. So I'm starting at the other end of the table.
I haven't had a chance yet.
Okay.
You know, I was at work today when I got this, and I haven't had a chance to read it completely.
Okay.
I think we should table any discussion of this particular agreement until another meeting. I don't think that we've had time to consider this contract at all. This whole process of presenting contracts has been mismanaged. It has alienated groups of people, especially our labor that should be included in this process. Our superintendent, who is in this contract and needs to be notified before everyone else. I felt blindsided by the first contract. I am not in favor of an interlocal agreement. I believe it's jumping the line in terms of what needs to happen for integration. I think integration is in the best interest of the community, but not like this, because we're taking the voice away from our voters. And until I have assurances that people are going to be completely represented and that the public gets to weigh in on this through voting, through community meetings, however that is, I strongly feel that if I sign a contract right now, I am signing it on behalf of the incoming four board members that are coming in December and January, and I take that very seriously, and I'm signing that on behalf of the public. What this does is it takes jurisdiction of EMS and gives it to the fire commissioners. Town subcontracts fire services right now. So the people in town don't get to vote for the fire commissioners. They can reach out to their town council, but they don't have a voice and they don't have representation on the fire commission at this time. It is important to me, if we consolidate these two entities, that it's done properly, that town annex into the levy, that the people in town have representation on the fire board, so they have a commissioner they can talk to. What this does is it takes the representation of EMS as well and gives it to the fire commissioners, so we have 2,500 people, I'm not sure how many voters that is, but in town, I'm sure Duncan Wilson would know, that then don't have a say in this process. And I simply cannot do that in our community. There's no accountability there. I don't understand what the rush is, other than to ensure that this gets signed before some of you leave office. I don't think that's good government, and I can't even comment on this contract right now because I haven't had time. So I move that we table this discussion.
I second that.
Okay, you already moved, so you already moved that we table it. So
did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I second that.
Okay,
then.
And we've already started the discussion ahead of time. So, Dr. Schwinge, you have a.
Let's include Dr. Edwards.
Dr. Edwards.
Well, in a couple of comments, Bill Williams stated that the first drafts were off the mark, and the latest draft, and I don't think he has seen this morning's draft, were much closer to being what they should be, what it should be, and I fully agree with that. I'd also like to add that this project, or this amalgamation or consolidation of the two entities, has been a work in progress for many, many years. It's been desirable in the eyes of the vast majority of our community, as well as the principals of Fire 3 and the PhD for many, many, many years as well. And now we have an opportunity to strike a bargain. I think that's a fabulous opportunity, and I'd like to thank Fire 3 for that opportunity after so many years and delays. As far as time to digest the latest draft, I agree. I'd like to call for a special meeting next week after, as Warren said, 4 or 5 days to digest this. I'd also request that, starting with Warren, that you submit your questions to our superintendent for dissemination among the board so we know where you're coming from and can get counsel primarily Mr. Davis to address those issues for our audience. I'm done.
You're breaking up.
We didn't catch the last part. So, well, you broke up, so we didn't catch the last part of what you said.
The Skype devil got you.
You were talking to, you were talking about submitting the questions in writing so that if we needed to get counsel to answer some of these things, we could.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, we made a suggestion to the board some many days ago that, hey, you know, take advantage of talking to Richard Davis and air out some of your concerns so we could share those concerns at this meeting. That didn't happen. Now it's after the fact. Warren wants a few more days. I don't argue with that, since we didn't get this latest draft until late this morning. That said, we need to communicate better internally, but also with council, to get these concerns on the table and addressed.
But what's the rush?
It's not a matter of rush. It's a process that's ongoing, and we should continue to do it.
So what I, that, those are, there's, now we have two different things going. We have substance of this fourth draft to discuss, but we also have the process of what's going on. And per the CAG report, let's leave it there. An annexation of the, annexation or the, the ability to, for the 2,500 people, 2,500 and what, 85% of the businesses on this island are in the city. And they don't have any, they don't have any direct voice. When the interlocal agreement between the town of Friday Harbor and Fire District 3 was signed and amended, they have mentioned annexation, and that was in 2000. Frank, when was that?
2009?
No, that was the hospital, 2009. In May of 2009, the hospital. This is 2011 and amended in 2016 and runs for two more years. Okay. They have mentioned annexation five times that they should pursue that. I haven't seen, I've only been on this island since 1998, I haven't seen any annexation votes at all. This is important for these people to have representation. And it's important that they be informed of the upsides and the downsides of annexation. Not only the city council, but the people themselves and the businesses themselves. If we had a big economic downturn like we had in 2008, most of their money comes from taxes. From taxes that we all pay at King's and Haley's and all those other places. It doesn't come off their base property. So they have a very insecure tax basis. Their property taxes, or their formal taxes that you call taxes, see on that little bill you get, barely covers their administration and the police and the fire. It doesn't cover anything else. So they need information, and that's a big part of this, and it's a big part of healing that wound that's been going on. Well, we're all old. I was going to say before you were born, but we're too old for that. And I think that's the biggest issue here, is how we're going to put this back together. We've heard from Frank Wilson's brother about this, and we need to be more open, more paced, and more inclusive, and work with the CAG report. And they were very emphatic, very, very emphatic that we have public, good public input. Not just posting it online and saying, well, if they're interested, they'll go on the web and read about it. Well, people that go on the web once a week won't know about this until it's discussed, until it's after discussed next week. And I can't ask the population to go on line every day to follow us. They have other things to do. They have kids in school. They have Halloween costumes. They have all this kind of stuff that's important. So I think it really, we should just table this next week or the week after, when all of our schedules, that we don't have to readjust everything, because we heard there's no hurry. Michael just said that. That we don't have to interrupt all our schedules to press in meetings like we did 2 weeks ago, when we canceled things to do things. That's just not, I don't see the reason. And I don't think it's helping. In fact, I think it's hurting. hurting the process, and I'm all for the process. I don't want the process and the ultimate goal to get hurt by what appears to be a rush to judgment. So that's, there you go.
I agree with having a chance to digest this and putting it off till next week so that we can have a special meeting and we can discuss it at length. I think there's a lot of questions that would be good to have ahead of time so that we can digest the questions and come up with the answers. I would say to your comments about town that Duncan Wilson is on the steering committee. He has addressed a lot of those things. We are still working on them. He's working on messaging for the town. He's working separately on town annexation. It is a separate piece from the fire and EMS consolidation, but it's tied closely in, but it has to be kept separate for various legal reasons. And so there, we, you know, the steering committee is working on that. Okay. And we are working to communicate with the public, so.
Well, I've been attending several of the county council meetings, and their process is going very slowly. But this is not only just an integration issue. This is a good governance issue.
I agree.
And in order to be able to read this and type out questions and do this and do that, it's going to take more than a couple of days and then to get them to Pam and then have a meeting. I mean, you know, this takes hours, and to be quite frank, you know, I have scheduled meetings, we all have scheduled meetings, and what's the rush of canceling scheduled meetings with other attorneys or trusts and or your kids just to get this done that quick? And the downside is it ties up future boards. And I want to be able to talk to everyone on the future board about their concerns about this, because that's the legacy I'm going to leave them, is what I do. And I am not willing to leave a legacy without talking to those folks, getting their input, talking to the people I have coffee with in the morning, discussing it with them, you know. But I think that's important, to be more inclusive. And to be more inclusive takes time. It just doesn't happen.
I think it's important to, just to add on to that, that as elected officials, we represent the public. And that it is our job to build the confidence of the public, because, and to act in their best interest, because we have to then again pass levies to fund our programs. And if we make a decision here, like with this particular agreement, that bypasses public input and takes away representation from a large part of our population, how then do we turn around and say, hey, we want you to continue to fund this, or we want you to fund this even more, when we have taken away their representation? I just don't, I mean, we've had trouble passing EMS levies in the past, and I think that an action like this could be incredibly damaging in public confidence.
This is
a... Warren, your point about involving the new board to be in 2020 is well taken, and it's my understanding that the steering committee has been proactive in that regard and want to involve these individuals and get them up to speed. Is that not true?
Hasn't happened yet.
And Carl?
It has not happened yet.
No, they're still trying to work out schedules, but yes, we did talk about it, and the two chiefs were going to talk to all four of the new commissioners separately. I believe it's been brought up. It certainly was brought up in the steering committee, and I think Norman's contacted somebody about it.
Have you heard anything?
No.
And to speak to that, if I may.
Yes.
Yes, that was part of the outreach plan, is to have those done. Some of the other meetings scheduled involve some of the outer island kind of thing, because we're working on several things simultaneously. But it has definitely been in the forefront as we ramped up our outreach. That, yeah, the incoming board, commissioners elect, or whatever term we want to use, that they need to be included and have some one-on-one time. They have not been scheduled yet, and I understand that. And again, it's in process. Those plans have been laid out. the ask about the time and availability has not gone out yet, and it needs to.
I also note that the fire chief's out of town this week.
He is.
And part of my due diligence would be to sit down with the fire chief, go over the job description, go over what, how he sees this, et cetera, and have a conversation with him, and then start integrating that and see if this does what he thinks it does.
Did you have a conversation with him already about those kinds of things, or something different?
He asked me for some advice on a private matter.
Oh, I thought you had a conversation.
And
with that.
No, because that conversation was after draft number one.
Okay. I'm going to ask.
And there's been three drafts since then.
I'm going to ask finally, Dr. Shungi, would you like to speak?
Yeah, the Chinese have a proverb that hurry is good for catching flies only. At the same time, inappropriate delay or expedition is not going to bring us to our goal. So I think an appropriately paced process is necessary, which is stating perhaps the obvious. How do we get from where we are to where we want to be? I suggest that we have, there's two possibilities that come to mind. One would be to redirect some of the questions we've heard today to the integration committee and get some answers. The other would be to have a joint meeting with them so that we could engage with them and get some answers. We'd include the town questions. We'd include boundary issues. And conceivably, we could have an online conference with Richard Davis participating, or Joe Quinn, or both. Not to run the lawyer's clock too much, but I think we need to have some counsel here, and I think we need to consider the integration committee's responses to the questions that are before us.
I like the idea of joint meeting. We could ask the integration committee to be here to answer all the questions.
So all that is predicated on having the questions at hand. And again, I would request of all the commissioners that you submit those to our superintendent for lateral dissemination within the PhD board, but also to share with the steering committee so we can get some answers to the questions, and also involve counsel, as Mark has suggested yet again.
If I might suggest,
we broke up again.
Sorry. So, compile the questions, number one, disseminate it laterally among the commissioners, number two, share those questions from the PhD board with our superintendent, who in turn can share those questions and request responses from not only the steering committee, but also from Mr. Quinn and Mr. Davis on an as-needed basis.
I suggest we broaden out the invitation for submitting questions to the community, including the folks that have spoken today. If we could receive your questions in writing, perhaps directed to Pam or Nathan, that would be a good starting point for the discussion, and have that in the hands of the integration committee well before any meeting that's slated.
I agree.
So,
yeah, we have a motion on the table.
Thank you. So, is everybody kind of done discussing?
Yeah, could you please restate the motion just for clarity? The
motion is to table this discussion to a time to be determined with all of those logistics that we just talked about, but and then get back together and have a full discussion. A public discussion of process and substance.
Would this be a meeting as described with the integration committee participating?
Or? They're part of the public.
So would this be the special meeting that's already been alluded to for perhaps next week?
Right, but it needs to be not rushed so that we have some time, because the process is we get questions, we go to Pam, she's going to have questions coming back, we got to get to the fire chief to see where he's at, da-da-da-da-da-da. It takes time. And it's just, and to do it right, it takes time. You know, it's like painting. If you paint too fast, you get all these runs.
Which was Northern Return?
How long did he have?
He's up in Ketchikan in the conference.
I can't tell.
Tomorrow or something. Give everybody a whole week and normally.
Maybe some more time. Maybe we push it back toward
I'll tell you what, let's just say TBD, and then we'll work it out. Pam, we can work it out.
I have one clarifying question. Is this a joint meeting with the steering committee and our board, or is this a joint meeting between us and fire and the integration steering committee and the thing? I'm just not clear.
Does the vision just be with us and the steering committee?
Okay, and then the attorneys and...
But it's open and the...
And the public,
and
yeah.
And one of their commissioners but can come. They can only have one at a time.
We are not... asking for a joint meeting with fire, no, with all of this.
I think the two chiefs could answer the majority of the questions. If Duncan wants to come, he can answer some of those questions too if he's available to come. But I don't know about.
That would be important.
Trying to have too many people.
It'd be important to have Duncan there.
It's important that you be there.
The chiefs and Duncan. So, sure, we can ask him.
As amorphous as that motion was, I think we got the idea of what I'm talking about.
Very good.
I'm sorry.
And it was seconded, so are we all ready to call for a vote?
Yes.
Call for a vote. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Let's move on to the next agenda item is Integration Steering Committee assignments. And Carl, I believe you had.
Yeah, this was something that was brought up. The idea being that we are all very aware as the Integration Steering Committee that we're down to the last quarter, that we have a new board coming in, and a suggestion was made. And I approached a little bit with Commissioner Lindstrom, but that suggestion was made that we ask Commissioner Lindstrom to join as an adjunct member to the steering committee, much in the same way as Chuck Deldorf has been an adjunct member, to help ease that transition, to provide a little more formal spot to, because as terms of our electeds come to a close, we thought it may be worthwhile to kind of have a period of time where that transition can take place. And so that suggestion was brought up. Now, this is completely up to Commissioner Lindstrom. The suggestion was made, was on the agenda. And so that's where that comes from. So I would pose that for your consideration.
Thank you. I would be happy to accept. I think this arose from some confusion in a conversation earlier where I was told by the fire chief that Commissioner Smith was willing to step off and let me step on in the interest of continuity. It turns out that wasn't correct information, but I think in the interest of continuity, it's important that I'm there.
As we do as well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would actually like to entertain a motion to officially appoint Commissioner Lindstrom to that adjunct member position on the steering committee board.
Seconded.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. You want to vote for you?
I did.
Michael, did
you vote for you, or did you take
did.
The logical thing?
Sorry, guys. You clicked out. I didn't vote. So now I'll vote, and I say yes as well. And it's a great idea. I think it's in concert with getting the rest of your board up to speed on Elisa. So. Both of these things are very important looking forward.
Okay. So next is the helipad discussion. Do you have anything for that?
Nothing substantial report. We're looking forward to a meeting possibly next month.
A meeting among the intergroup or a bigger meeting?
Involving a Peace Health and other individuals yet to be named. So it's not
a work in progress.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to put it.
Okay, then we're on to new business. Two items. The first is discussion of Premera insurer visit on October 16th. And Pam, do you like to address that?
Yes. As I alluded to in my operations report, the Premera LifeWise officials are scheduling dates to come out and visit most of the islands. They're going to hit Orcas on October 15th, which is a Tuesday, and go to the Orcas Hospital District meeting that night. And then they're going to come over to San Juan Island on the early ferry, early morning ferry, and be here all day to get to visit as many stakeholders as possible that day. And so there is time, early morning when the ferry gets in from about 7:40 to their first official meeting is at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11 with the fire chiefs and the Dr. Corso, the MPD, and the Primera new medical director. So that meeting is set time, 9 to 11. But there's a little bit of time when the ferry gets here until 9. And then in the afternoon, after the Board of Health meeting, it starts at 11:30 to 2, but the timing of when they're going to be there has not yet been determined. And then they're going to go to PIMC in the early part of the afternoon and talk with PIMC officials. And then there's some time that if our board wants to have a special meeting and all of the board be here and talk to the officials, there will probably be at least three, maybe four, to talk about what their plans are for rolling out and getting more information from the island and the people before they make their final changes to what they're going to propose for their January 1st plans. So that's the question before the board is, do you want to all five meet that day, or do you want to break up and have some meeting in the morning and some in the afternoon, or just how would you like to meet them?
I think Dr. Edwards has a comment too.
Yes, so it's your decision.
Well, I think, you know, all the board members should avail themselves of this wonderful opportunity, and I would mention specifically that Primera, life-wise, is fully prepared to talk about the dilemma that we've had with Kaiser Permanente with regards to air medical transports, and that's a major step in the right direction. I'm going to be there, flying up here in a week or so, and I want to thank not only Pam, but also Ann Presson, who's the superintendent for PhD number 2 and 3 for this continuity of care. I mean, they approached one of the LifeWise reps at the Lake Chelan meeting, I think that was in June, and it's been one contact after another, now culminating in this 3-day event. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and we need to take advantage of it. As a PhD board, I know the Department of Health is going to take advantage of it, the Peace Island Medical Center is going to take advantage of interacting with these folks, and I think we should do it, each and every one of us.
I see that as a high priority, and I have put both of those on my schedule already. Work is in here. Okay. I want to be able to listen to them, and I want to be able to question them, and I want to listen for a period of time before I ask questions.
Okay. Do they have time in the afternoon after the Board of Health meeting and Peace Health to meet with us as a group?
We think they will. We're trying to get a set ferry that they're taking, whether they're taking 6:30 or the 7 something, because it will be the fall schedule, so it will have changed from now.
Well, that'd
so.
Be great to know, and right. I think it would be beneficial to advertise
yes.
that open public meeting to the public, because I know there have been a lot of people involved
right.
in the process as well that would like mm-hmm. to be here.
So they're staying on Orcas the night of the 15th?
Yes.
And coming on which ferry?
The 7th. Wednesday morning, the earlier ferry gets in
new,
at 7:40.
7:40
okay. for the inner island, you know.
Can we have pictures of them so we can identify them on the ferry if we decide to get on that ferry?
They're going to the post office.
No, those are the other guys.
Yeah, I
guys
will.
In the post office.
So you'll make an official meeting so that more than 2 people can show up from the sport.
Yes.
Okay.
And find out. It's really important what they've decided about what ferry they're catching back so
okay.
that we can finalize. And Anne was trying to get a time today, but couldn't get that answer before our meeting today.
I'd also suggest if we have an official meeting that the room is not configured like this.
Okay, yes.
That it be a lot more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In fact, we could even have beer if it was in the afternoon.
No, not in here.
I don't think
that
far. Just,
but that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't think recliners are in the
budget. Okay, we're down to the last item, which is a resolution 19-512, the three-touch rule for major contracts. And I believe, Annalisa, that's yours. So if you'd like to introduce that.
Yeah, this just kind of occurred to me that this is something we don't have as part of our, our rules, and it seems to me that in light of us needing to sign a very important contract coming up, that it is important that we take the time to review it. So this is, as Nathan mentioned in his email earlier today, pulled from a county concept. And I think it's important that we are all given the appropriate amount of time to review contracts, to discuss them in several meetings. This suggests that it could be one regular meeting and then two special meetings. Before we vote on something, and we're talking major contracts at this time.
Do you like to make a motion to adopt that resolution so we can discuss it?
Mm-hmm. So I move that we adopt this resolution.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Discussion.
Dr. Has to be first, since I'm can, running out of Skype time.
You can be first.
Okay. I think conceptually or philosophically, this is a good idea. And I did take a look at the policies and procedures, rules and regulations specific to county council. And they indeed have a minimum of two Tuesday meetings per month. In other words, they have a meeting every other week on, for instance, and we have a meeting every month, so I would suggest an amendment, Annalisa, with your permission, and that would be having a two-touch as opposed to a three-touch. And also, as part of your motion or resolution, you referenced the bylaws, and to affect the bylaws, we would have to revise the bylaws because there's an amendment, proviso on page 10, that talks about one meeting to revise the bylaws, and so we would have to address that as a single, an additional issue.
So you're suggesting we just delete the end bylaws changes in the heading?
Yes, correct. And make it a two-touch as opposed to a three-touch, basically allowing the same timeline that a county council enjoys, which I think, as I said, is a good idea.
Dr. Schwinge?
Again, I just received this here today, and again, philosophically, I agree. I think there's a value in careful, mindful process. Just what that looks like, I think, is still a question to be answered. It is true that we could really drag things out by quite a bit, requiring three meetings, since we do meet monthly. We don't have that many special meetings. So I like the idea, I think, a little better of a two-touch solution, a two meetings. The other question I would have is, what defines a major contract? And I know there in paragraph one, you state that any board member may declare a contract to be a major contract. I wonder if that's maybe the best way to get at that, or if we could have a dollar value or something of that nature that's associated with the contract. I'm thinking out loud here, which is always dangerous, mm-hmm. but... I guess the bottom line is I haven't really had a lot of time to study this and think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it needs consideration. I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, I think as far as a major contract, Mark, you know, a dollar parameter is only one elements right. of the significance of a contract. I think case in point is in a local agreement. We're talking about a potential contract with Chief Collins of $30,000, that's not a huge amount of money. And yet, you know, the interlocal agreement is of, you know, prime time or major importance. So I would leave that loosely defined. And really the prerogative of the board in terms of their collective mindset, in terms of terms of what they consider major or what they consider otherwise.
Just for the purpose of discussion, maybe a major contract should be at the discretion of the superintendent. I don't know. I just thought about it. I haven't had a lot of time to think about it, but, you know, the major contract is there local is what? Your budget is now $4 million a year? Or what's your budget? Major?
If we put both together, yeah.
$4 million a year, that's easily a major. But
yeah, this year's.
We went through this last year when we tried to write a job description with contracts with Chief Martin. And it got pretty confusing. But what kind of contract, to Michael's point?
Yeah.
I'm definitely in support of this, and the way I do things is I always retouch them, unless someone's heart has stopped, and then I shock them. But I always retouch everything. I like to sleep on it several times because somehow I'm smarter when I'm sleeping and wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with an idea than I am during the day. And it must be a sign of age. But I'm in support of, I'm in support of this. Yeah, I'm in support. I'll just stop there.
I would be in support of it with two changes. One, to take the bylaws changes out, sure, so we don't have to worry about that. But two, to make it a two-touch rather than a three. And that has to do with the fact that the county council, which is, I mean, I like the idea, but the county council meets Mondays and Tuesdays, so they basically meet 8 times a month.
Sure.
So that's very difficult for us. And then, I don't know, I'm looking back at some of the contracts we've done. When we sold the building, we had to make that decision that day in that room. And that's a huge major contract. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't have, and we got all the information, an hour before. Mm-hmm. So I think, and then you would constantly be changing, you know. So I think the two makes sense. The two makes more sense. And you could exclude that.
As to, that's a good point about the selling and needing to do that.
We could,
but you could, if all five, all five commissioners, you could suspend the rule if, in fact, we all thought there was an emergency do that.
Yes.
And we could suspend the rule and go forward.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
But after 8 years, we're also anxious to get to get it completed.
Dr. Edwards, did you have another comment?
No, I think a Warren covered it. That's good.
So there could be something about a provision in here that mentions something that's time sensitive, like a sale of real estate or something. Could there not?
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. In fact, did I not say that the board may vote to override that determination or make its own determination?
Mm-hmm.
So, however, that has to do with a major contract, so you could basically say, if even with major contracts, the board could decide to override it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you want to, are you, like, prepared to include that and make a motion?
Sure.
For the resolution with those amendments?
Yeah, I'm happy to
make the amendment.
To amend this, to change it to a two-touch, and then to amend it to, include the provision that we could adjust based on time constraints. Does that make sense, Nathan?
Yes, Commissioner, we can make those changes.
Okay, thank you.
Are you wanting to do that today, or you want to revisit?
I'm not sure. It sounds like Commissioner Schwinge wants a little more time to review the contract, or this particular resolution, so I want to respect that.
Okay. I can abstain as a vote as well.
Okay.
Okay. I guess what you said, Mark,
I can abstain. So, yeah, the motion can be tabled, can be withdrawn, or we can vote on it and I'll abstain.
Okay. What's your wish?
Let's vote on it.
Well, we're going to have a special meeting.
Or we could vote on
it. Sounds like next week or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we give Mark the extra time to, again, digest this resolution? We basically know what the resolution is going to be all about, I think, from the get-go, and then vote on it formally at that time. What do you all think?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Okay, so Madam Chair, are you okay with that?
We just need to add it to the agenda for that meeting so that we can actually do it, and then you can work with Mark's input, and Nathan, we can work on the fourth meeting.
Okay, sounds great.
So that constitutes a table, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, table.
So it will be tabled. And we are at the end of the agenda, so I will announce an adjournment unless anybody is anti-adjourning.
Does that mean anti-adjourning?
It means we're adjourning.
We don't have anything to sign, do we?
You have.